Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Welcome back, everybody, to today's Issues on American Family Radio. Tim with Ray and Steve Jordahl and Walker. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm well. Yeah, I heard you guys talking about the great Tupelo blizzard of 2020 at the beginning of last hour yesterday. Snow we had. Just so you know, I checked with Steve Tiber of 8 Days of Hope. If it gets really bad, he can come and dig us out. He's got the bandwidth.
From Buffalo, New York.
Yes.
That's where that's Steve's hometown. Buffalo, New York, if it's less than a foot, they're good.
Yeah. Nothing
less
stops.
Less than a foot of snow, they're good in Buffalo. They get that lake effect up there. Hey, listen, folks, many of you participated in the Operation Christmas Child Shoebox project and have for years. Well, guess what? The good folks that we're partnering with at Operation Christmas Child, which is a ministry of the Samaritan's Purse organization, they have a follow-up. They have a discipleship program that goes with the children's, goes with the boxes. So it's not just the boxes, which is a wonderful thing to do, the shoe boxes I'm talking about. It's what happens afterwards. And joining us to talk about this is Andy Almeida. Did I get it right, Andy?
Hey, how are you? Great things to be with you guys, and thank you very much for all the support and just your partnership with Operation Christmas Child and Samaritan Spurs. It's just great to be with you.
Where are you today?
I'm talking to you from Ecuador, the middle of the world, in South America.
Wow.
Oh, you're in Ecuador. Okay, there's about a 2-second delay.
That explains it.
See there?
Exactly. I'm sorry for that. But hopefully I could just share a little bit of my experience with Operation Christmas Child and the Greatest Journey Discipleship Program, even though these little issues of the delay.
Okay. What is your background with this project?
Well, long story short, I received a shoebox when I was 10. And then I was impacted by the love of everyone who was part of the overage event by this date, and obviously just impacted by the program and the discipleship program. So I decided to be part of this program. I was just very, very enthusiastic just to share what I received in that very moment. So I become one of the clowns in sharing the gospel to other kids around my country, and then God just brought me into the international team, serving as an international peer representative for the South American region. And the last days, I had the chance to become a regional manager serving our region, and now 10 countries in South America. So that's a long story short, but it's just the way that how your this simple gift can impact the lives of the children, you know, taking from the one community and then moving forward and just impacting others. So that's the multiplication effect right there.
Andy, this is Walker. I've actually had the honor to see how the Greatest Journey works in action. I went down to the country of Grenada to not just deliver the shoeboxes, but also see how the Greatest Journey works. Give our listeners an idea of how it works from a flyover standpoint, as far as who do you contact locally? Who facilitates this? How long does it take? And do all children who get a shoebox have the opportunity, should they want to participate in the Greatest Journey?
Thank you, Walker. And yes, the program is amazing. All the children that are able to receive a shoebox, we invite them to be part of these 12 lessons discipleship program. Which basically is leading and making happen through local leads. That's one of the hearts that we have as a Samaritan's Purse and Operation Christmas Child. It's not to do it for them, but instead of that, giving them the tools, giving the local church the tools for them to be able to reach out and not just have a discipleship children in their countries, in their communities. So during this program, children are able to learn how they are loved by God, how they can now love God, and now how to share this love with others. So it is amazing how teachers and pastors in different parts of the world, and specifically for myself, from my perspective in South America, it's just amazing how grateful they are. Because sometimes, you know, in these countries, we didn't have former teachers teaching or in our BDS classes, in our Sunday classes. So when they become partners of the American Spurs and OCC, they have the chance not just to receive the materials, but also to be trained. And for some of those teachers that have the heart, but know any kind of like a training background or something before, for them are really very special to have these tools in their hands and just be trained in how to use it in the best way possible. So that's a little bit of the program. And at the end of this 12 lessons, all of the parents and children are invited to a celebration event, a graduation, where parents are invited, and there's an opportunity for local churches to just connect with them and just make an expansion of the gospel right there, not just reaching out children, but families, communities, and impacting nations by just starting with this simple discipleship program, but very powerful in God.
All right. Walker, you want to get the how to...
Yeah, you
what are we asking folks to do, bottom line?
Yeah, bottom line, we're asking folks to donate towards the greatest journey. So many of you have packed your shoe boxes. My family's packed a handful of shoe boxes. So we're asking folks that have packed the shoe box, if they want to come alongside Samaritan's Purse and American Family Radio, they can fund the greatest journey for a child.
That's the discipleship program.
That's correct. That's what we've been talking about the last 10 minutes. You can go to AFR.net, AFR.net, that's our website. And then you can sponsor children and sponsor the greatest journey to make sure that these materials and this discipleship program is able to be carried out by Samaritan's Purse.
Thank you. Thank you, brother. Appreciate it. Andy?
Oh, my pleasure. And thank you very much to you guys. And hopefully for your listeners, we really want to impact the entire world and go beyond. So please, pass your thoughts, and please sponsor more kids through the Greatest Journey Discipleship Program.
All right, brother. Thank you so much. It's Andy Almada. Almeida. Fortunately, I was just able to call him Andy for the most part. He said he was in Ecuador, so we had a little bit of a bad connection there, but I hope folks were able to understand most all of what he said there. You're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Should you want to send us an email, the address is comments@afr.net, comments@afr.net. Steve, go ahead.
Let's talk COVID for a second.
Oh, let's do it, Steve.
Let's do it. So the resurgence is here, they say. The cases are up. And boy, in California and New York, they are getting worried. In fact, California's Governor Gavin Newsom yesterday said that he might have to take more dramatic, arguably drastic action. He didn't exactly outline what it was. Here's what we know already. 99% of California residents in purple counties, that's how they tier their exposure. If your county has over a certain percentage, you're purple. But 99% of California residents are under a curfew in those counties. And in Los Angeles County, they've shut down outdoor dining. And did you hear what they did to the 49ers? California has banned contact sports, all contact sports. So the 49ers have to find a new place to play football for the next couple weeks, for indefinitely. They're going to be.
You mean they can't even play in their own home stadium?
No, sir. They're going to be.
Has that ever happened before?
Not that I can recall.
So what you're saying by banning outdoor dining and then also by banning contact sports, what the officials there in California are saying that COVID, in their estimation, can be transmitted outside and also by playing sports.
That's, I guess, what they say.
Contact sports. Yeah. That's the first I've heard of that.
Yeah.
I mean, to any I have heard – no, I haven't. Outdoors is supposed to be safe all along, right?
Right.
Pretty much.
Yeah, this is
unless you're just congested like a mass, like at a protest.
Right.
Right?
Yeah, this thing, man, if you would have asked me back in February or March or even – yeah, February, if we would be where we are today – banning outdoor dining, cutting off football games, and pushing relatively healthy people into their house and
making
curfews.
Also making healthy people wear masks all day.
Yeah. I mean, this has just gotten out of hand. And I really do feel bad for the people in these states that are living under this.
Steve, you had a story about one of the downsides of wearing masks.
Yeah, I was reading this the other day. A doctor was talking. He has a son with autism. Or no, it was Down syndrome. And he had to put off dental work for quite a while because of the COVID thing. It was an elective procedure. So when they finally went in with this Down syndrome child and they took care of his dental problems, gave him a good cleaning, they got a call that night from the doctor that said, from the dentist that said, we found a yeast infection around and a little bit inside your son's mouth. And this is something that the dentist says he's seen maybe 5 or 6 times in his entire career until this year. And now he's seen 30 or 40 cases of this. And they say it's because of people wearing masks consistently. That's not really healthy. Walker, I know you were talking this morning. Mm-hmm. It traps germs against your face. That can't be healthy.
Yeah, I mean, just naturally, when you breathe out, there's a reason God designed you to breathe out because you're exhaling stuff your body doesn't need. But then when you put a mask on, you're kind of keeping all that flushed up against your face. So, you know, it's one thing to put it on for the grocery store for 30 minutes, but, you know, a lot of these people are having to wear them all day.
All these workers.
Yeah, if you're like a server and you're having to work like a 7 or 8 hour shift at a restaurant or at a hospital.
That's not healthy.
Yeah, it can't be healthy to have to breathe in.
Right, what do you think? We're not talking about temporarily wearing a mask when you go out, as Walker said, to the grocery store for half an hour. We're talking about these folks who are required to wear them 8-10 hours.
We're not talking about doctors that have to wear masks when they do surgery.
Right.
I mean, that's been around forever. We're talking about normal, everyday, ordinary people who are being forced to wear a mask 8 or 10 hours a day. It isn't smart. It isn't healthy. It isn't logical. And they don't have a choice because in those cases, those states, you want to keep your job, you got to wear a mask.
Yeah.
I just think a lot of it's virtue signaling.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I really do. I think a lot of by virtue signaling, I mean, people are saying, hey, I'm trying to keep the public healthy. Mm-hmm. And if you're not wearing a mask, you don't care.
Yeah.
Now, not all people have that attitude, but a lot of it, I think, with these big corporations who tell all their employees they got to wear a mask 24/7.
Right.
Not 24/7, but as long as you're at work, 8 hours, let's say, for example. It's just, I just don't think, I talked to a dentist friend of mine. He said, listen, yeah, you wear your mask in his profession because you're dealing with some patients up close and personal, right? Mm-hmm. But he takes it off after he's finished, and his assistants, immediately after they're finished, they take that mask off. They don't, you know. We're talking about people who are wearing the same mask for 8 hours at a time or more. And I've talked to a lot of them, and I know people listening have talked to a lot of people who are required to wear masks as part of their job, and it's just, it affects their psyche. So let me ask you this. People are struggling with the whole mask issue. That's why mask mandates.
Yeah.
I don't like them. Mask mandates. I think if you want to recommend people wear a mask, but requiring people to wear masks for multiple hours at a time, I just don't think is a good idea.
Yeah. Well, the one thing that I think.
But let me add one other thing to that.
Yeah.
I think in the spirit of freedom and liberty and people treating people like adults, why don't you just say, listen, this establishment does not require you to wear a mask. Therefore, if the people don't want to go there, they don't have to go there. They can go somewhere else that does require you. You see what I'm saying?
Sure. Yeah.
Also, I don't understand this part of the whole thing. There's a lot of contradictions here. I go into a restaurant. Allison, my wife, and I go into a restaurant and sit down. And then they tell you, well, you can take your mask off then, right? Personally, we don't go in stores or restaurants that require a mask at all. Mm-hmm. But that's just, but for most people, they're walking in, that you go sit down at the table. Well, you take your mask off then. What's the difference between the 30 seconds I walk from the door to the table? You see what I'm saying?
Right.
It just doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, and the I think when governors and mayors back months ago accepted this widespread idea or premise that mask wearing is the end all be all, then you're really placing yourself in a position of, if you start requiring it, then you've got to go full out. You've got to go all in, and
then you got to start writing people tickets and stuff. Right,
and what we've seen is when you look at across the country, and different states have different policies, just like different cities have different policies, but there's really been no evidence. I haven't seen any evidence to prove that states or cities that everyone's wearing masks in, that those are somehow doing better. For example, Florida Governor DeSantis has said, local municipalities can have their own rules and some can have mask requirements, but he said we're not fining people and we're not jailing people for not wearing masks. He's made that an executive order. But I only say that to say Florida's been open for months now. They haven't closed back down. They're not doing heavy-handed mask mandates. But New York is. New York has been shut down since March or February. Much of their New York City has their schools closed down now. They're just now about to reopen them. They've been forcing mask usage. They've been fining businesses who aren't wearing masks. But the trend, the COVID trends there, as far as an infection rate and the death rate, are not that much different. As a matter of fact, New York is actually worse off than Florida.
Well, California is a mask-wearing mandated state, pretty much, and it's going. The virus is going like wildfire out there.
Right.
So what you're saying is, I would like to see studies on this because just the anecdotal evidence you've just talked about tells me that the masks don't help nor prevent the virus from spreading.
Correct.
Right.
Yeah, that's my belief.
The other thing about it is that the true believers aren't really true believers. You keep hearing, in New York, de Blasio, I think it was, or it was either de Blasio or Cuomo, had a meeting of his panel, and none of them were wearing masks. You have the Nancy Pelosi breaking the quarantine. You have all kinds of, you hear every day about a double standard that's happening. And in fact, the Los Angeles County Supervisor Sheila Kuehl, I was talking to you guys about this. She voted to ban outdoor dining at restaurants in her county, Los Angeles County, whereupon she celebrated the vote by going and dining outside. She doesn't really believe that it's a danger. She's just doing it because she thinks she's, by the way, a little bit of trivia on that, by the way. Sheila Kuehl used to be a child actor. She played Zelda on Dobie Gillis. Same lady. For those of you who are the many loves of Dobie Gillis fans.
Yeah, that goes back a long way.
Long ways.
Wow, I never heard of that. I'm 57. What are you talking about?
She's the elected official who went to dinner after she just voted against restaurants being open.
Yeah, right. But I'm talking about, where did she go eat?
So she went to an Italian place called Il Foro Trattoria.
That was her last meal, right? She said that was her last meal.
Well, it was not her last meal ever. It was the last dining out
last
experience.
Last meal before her edict went into effect.
That's right. She said, it's legal now, so I can do it. But, I mean, if you're really concerned about it,
you really believed.
That's like Gavin Newsom getting caught at this birthday party with like 20 people at this table, and they're all like rubbing shoulders together, and nobody's wearing a mask.
Hypocrites. You know what? The coronavirus, COVID-19, is real. We all know it. We had our devotion this morning, so nobody's calling it a hoax.
Right.
And it's lethal for some people, especially who have comorbidities mm-hmm. or what you call underlying health conditions who are high at risk when hit with this. But we were, you know, we had our staff devotion. I've noticed at 8 o'clock we have staff devotion here each morning, and we have, 75 or so people in there, and just the increasing mentions of people, knowing people with COVID, are there. So nobody's, I hope it doesn't come across to people that we're under respecting, I guess, if that's not a, right. probably not a word.
We're not downplaying.
No. It's very real, and it's spreading, and it is causing serious problems across the country. We're just questioning some of these mandates that are you do have to balance that.
Sure.
Right? You have to balance that versus living in a free and open society.
Right.
Right. Well, now you've got people like Dr. Fauci who's saying open the schools up, right? We were told earlier we have to close the schools down, protect the kids and all that. Now Fauci's coming out and saying no. Open the school up, because closing the schools down, all it did was hurt the students. That's all it did.
Yeah. Oh, and there's no telling. Well, Allison, my wife and I were talking about this the other day. There's no telling the ramifications of the lack of education mm-hmm. that American students have been getting in the last few months. Many of them were moved from one grade to the next, never having finished last spring.
Right.
When you live in a free and open society, when you value liberty, when you have a United States Constitution, and you have people whose livelihoods depend on commerce and business and freedom to move and travel, that's America, right? You cannot squelch that and put that down and stop that.
Right.
Forever. Somebody said yesterday we're on the 15th month bend the curve track here.
Right.
Huh?
Yeah.
What I'm saying is you just can't do that.
Yeah, and to show that common sense and individual liberty can go together is you look at Florida, and I mentioned Governor Ron DeSantis. But from day one, he said, we're going to take common sense steps to protect the vulnerable, but we're not going to shut down businesses, we're not going to shut down churches, and we're not going to destroy livelihoods. So you can balance the two.
Well, a lot of other governors have taken that position, and I applaud them.
Yeah.
Applaud them for it. And I was looking at the death rate. Steve, you were showing me the death rate this morning.
Yeah, by age.
Talk about that.
It's way weighted toward the end of the older people. Older people are dying. I would say, guessing, not a scientific number, 80% of people who die from this are 65, 75 and older. If you took care of those people, you wouldn't have a pandemic.
Right.
If you just arrested the spread in that population, we'd be done with this.
And a high percentage of them are in nursing homes, right?
That nursing homes are especially hard hit, yes.
Yeah.
A high percentage of that number. Ray, thank you so much, my brother.
My pleasure. Thanks,
Steve. Steve, appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Walker.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Thanks to Brent Creeley, our producer, and Fred Jackson, Sandy Rios. And we thank you folks for listening to American Family Radio. We hope you stay with us throughout the day. And the team, yours truly and the team here, will meet you again tomorrow at 10 o'clock Central Time. 10:05, right?